I awoke, sour, hungover, out of sorts, thinking it was late and that I'd overslept. But no, it was early, and the night shift of diggers were coming out of their pit with their picks, trowels, brushes, and notebooks, singing hilarious marching songs. They had constructed a bathhouse where hot water was sluiced down from volcanic springs and routed through vertical shafts where you could get blasted clean in about 10 seconds. I stood in one of those until I could no longer breathe, then stepped out and let my new matter bolt pull the water off my skin. This helped a little. But what was really throwing me for a loop was the re-entry shock of being back in the mathic world, with its view of time so different from what I'd grown used to extramuros. Making it worse was that no one had explained the place's rules to me yet. In most ways, it was like a Cartesian math, but they'd not made me swear a vow, and I got the sense that I could walk out the door whenever I chose. They just pretended it was a math when they were dealing with anyone who might not understand. Being a vout was their cover story. And yet, it was no lie, for they were as dedicated to their work as any who lived in San Edhar, perhaps more so, in that they wouldn't suffer that work to be impeded by rules, would not submit to the dictates of any inquisition. Fra Landasher intercepted me coming out of the sluice bath and introduced me to Sura Spry, a girl of about my age, or rather reintroduced me, since she was the first person I had spoken with yesterday at the gate. She reminded me disconcertingly of Ayla. It was now or never, explained Landasher, for me to descend and see the ruins, for if we waited any longer it would be too hot. Sura Spry was to be my guide. She had packed a basket of food that we could nibble on as we went. It was clear from the looks on their faces that they expected I'd be thrilled. And what would be more reasonable? Yet I had to feign gratitude because what I really wanted was to awaken Orlo and talk to him of pressing secular matters. Not having known what might happen at the gate, I'd made the plan yesterday with Cord, Yule, Ganel, and Saman that if I was allowed to go inside, they should wait for an hour, and then, if nothing happened, come back 3 days later, at which time I'd try to get word out to them as to what ought to be done next. I felt that my 3 days were flying by, and so in truth I did not want to go on a long tourist hike with some girl I had only just met. It was in a peevish mood that I began to descend the ramp, carrying Sewer Spry's picnic basket on one arm. It was in an altogether different mood, though, that I reached the bottom, kicked off my sandals, and felt under my bare feet the paving stones on which Adrakanes had walked. The temple steps where Dyax had brandished his rake. The analemma, where generations of physiologer priests had celebrated Provenor. And the tile-strewn decagon, where Metachorines had stood lost in thought as the whole place was buried under ash. "Did you find him?" I asked Spry.
"Who? Metachorines?"
"Yes."
"Yes. He was the first one my forerunners, looked for. They found, standing upright, a—"
She balked, looking awed and disgusted.
"Skeleton?"
"A cast," she said. "A cast of his whole body. You can look at it if you want. Of course, it's just speculation that it is the actual Metachorines, but it fits perfectly with the legend. He even had his head bowed, you know, as if he were looking at the tiles."
The plaza we were standing on, the one where Metachorines had been buried and cast in stone, was the Teglon made real. It was flat, decagonal, maybe 200 feet across, paved in smooth slabs of marble. In ancient times, the plaza had been plentifully supplied with tiles made of clay baked in molds. There were 7 molds, hence 7 different shapes of tiles. Their shapes were such that it was possible to fit them together in an infinite number of patterns. That's not possible with squares or equilateral triangles. Those fit together in repeating patterns, so there are no choices to make. But as long as you had more copies of the Teglon tiles, you could go on making choices forever. Hundreds of tiles were scattered around the place even now, and from place to place, the modern-day Orathenans had been putting them together in little arrangements. I squatted down and looked at one, then looked questioningly at Spry.
"Go ahead," she said. "It's a modern reproduction, We found the original molds,